This is Brothers of the Holy War, Chase Eckbert, coming to you from Idaho and the White Mamba down in Arizona. Andrew, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Chase. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Did you feel a little lost having bye weeks on both sides?
Yeah, that feels like it's been a long time since I've watched meaningful football.
No kidding. But it couldn't have come at a better time, at least for BYU.
Yeah, Utah too, injuries and everything, so I'm okay with the timing of it. I'm just ready to play some football again.
Amen to that. So coming up this episode, we're going to discuss the new law that was passed that would make college athletes a paid commodity.
Also, we'll look a little more into if Kalani Sitake is on the hot seat, and if he is, how he can cool that down a little bit.
And also, we're going to discuss the carousel that is the Pac-12 at this moment. Also, keys to this week's games.
And finally, everybody's favorite part, our final rants.
Let's do this thing. Segment one, goggles on, goggles off. So this week where we had buys on both sides of the ball, we're going to focus a little bit on maybe a little political stuff here. Recently, California passed a law that will go into effect in 2023 where athletes could get paid at the collegiate level. So super interesting. At the basic level, we don't know a ton, but what it would mean is athletes could get paid for example, their signatures. Or if, say, Zach Wilson wants to do a throwing clinic or a quarterback clinic in his backyard, he could get paid for that and not get deemed. Now, this is a state creating a law. Now, the next step is what does the NCAA think about it? But before we get there, it's kind of interesting to speculate. We brought in a collegiate player once upon a time, Connor Eckbert, to discuss this. Connor, how you doing?
Good, if you count riding the bench at a Division II.
Hey, we'll count, or, baby.
A collegiate athlete, I'll take it.
No, that's awesome. Hey, were you able to find some clothes? We want your clothes for this interview.
Yep, I'm halfway there.
We don't want to know which half.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, have you heard about this? And what are your thoughts about college athletes getting paid?
For sure. I've heard about it. My thoughts, having some athlete friends that have played Division I, I hear the argument to an extent, in the sense that it's literally probably like 60 hours, 70 hours a week sometimes that they're putting in, and just to get free schooling sometimes might not be enough for certain situations. So, I mean, I hear the issue as far as maybe getting some more compensation of some sort. However, it's just a dangerous game, in my opinion. I was watching Fox Sports, I think it was, and they were talking about how if you take Alabama, for example, and you have, let's say you have 1,000 different community fans in Tuscaloosa that are willing to write off or sign $10,000 to each athlete on that team, there's just too many fan bases that are too big that that will just dominate that game as far as that goes. And I think it could damage some of the
get richer.
Yep. So I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think it would turn into a much smaller league of competition, even more so than it already is.
I mean, I agree with that wholeheartedly, but just to play devil's advocate, are we not saying that that's probably not happening anyway right now?
Yeah,
sure. I mean, go ahead, Chase.
I say it's kind of like that argument that started in California as well. It's like, hey, we know everyone's doing weed, so let's go ahead and legalize it. Is that still the best idea? Man, I'm kind of in the camp of this would ruin college sports as we know it. It would become money grabs here and there. It would be really rough. But at the same time, you look at it, who's making the money right now? Where's the money going? It's like, okay, these coaches are making millions and millions of dollars each year. The administration, it'd be sure nice to find a way that makes sense to get these athletes some money, but it's also fair across the board.
I mean, what, like, how many kids that are on Alabama's roster right now are not 4 and 5 stars already? I mean, like, they're gonna land those kids regardless. I don't know. I just feel like if the schools aren't, like, this law in California doesn't say the school have to pay them any money. It just means that they're allowed to make money on their own. Like you said, he wants to hold a quarterback clinic. He wants to go shoot a commercial. I understand Connor's that, you know, we're just having kids go get signed for $10,000 checks. But at the same time, I feel like there's so much money. It's hard not to find a way to get the players to get some of it at least, but I don't know.
Right. So kind of honing in on the two colleges that we follow closely, BYU and Utah. Connor, what would you think, having been a lifelong fan of BYU's, what would that mean for BYU?
I actually don't know enough about the fan base as far as like how much they'd be willing to put in financially. I mean, I would like to think they could compete, but I don't know. I just think that BYU is unique, and in the sense of with the honor code and the institution that it is, I just think that alone is enough of a dynamic to make it difficult to compete, even if there's cash on the line or not. But
that would be interesting too, bringing the honor code and kind of the church, where it's a church ran school, bringing that dynamic into it. Where is the ethical line where the church would be okay walking up to? As far as, I'm sure there's going to be so many loopholes people are going to come up with all over the country. Where does BYU, you know, how far would they be willing or okay and comfortable pushing that line?
I just think it's a dangerous game to get into, but I mean, they are making all the money for people. So I'm a fan of addressing it and making some changes. I just don't think it should just be full-fledged, let's go for it and see what happens, but I don't know.
I mean, outside of maybe Tebow, like, I feel like every person that I've seen that's played college sports that has an opinion on this seems to be for the players making money. None of them are going to, you know, write out a plan and say this is how it needs to be done. But I feel like the kids that are doing this feel like they're getting screwed a little bit. So I feel like something has to change. Again, I don't have all the answers, but I don't know. Can you think of anybody else that feels like they're anti-player making money?
I agree with compensating players and getting them some of that cash. It's just a matter of how to do that. That's the challenge. If you put it in the hands of the boosters, that's what I think is like just dangerous, because then it's just, there's certain fan bases that have so much cash and crazy fans that are willing to just, I think you have certain teams where there's athletes getting paid astronomically, and then you'd have just other teams that are just getting paid.
You'd have half of the SEC selling their trailers, going and living in a cardboard box so someone could get paid $500,000 a year to go play college ball. Like, there's got to be something. There's got to be like a cap. There's got to be some regulation. There's got to be something that you put that just makes it okay. 5 players on the team can make X amount, or something that's not terribly complicated that people can follow and actually track.
I'm all for players getting a piece of the pie. I feel like there's just so much money in these programs, and you look at some of the locker rooms and the things that these schools are doing because they just have money coming out of their ears. I feel like, and there has to be something to the players. I don't have the answer as far as that goes, but you know, I think something has to change. Not to, you know, change your subject too quickly here, we're gonna ask you another question. You ready?
Sure, let's hear it.
Okay. As you're well aware of, BYU went to Ohio and lost to Toledo. And all of a sudden, I saw a lot of posts similar to what the end of Broncos' reign looked like, that there was time to move on. As a BYU fan, fair or unfair?
As a BYU fan, I'd say unfair. I think it's tough to find a replacement. It's tough to find a coach to coach BYU and to do it at a high level. If there is a guy that can perform at a much higher level and they think that, then I'd be okay with it. I'd probably want Kalani involved because I think he's done some good things and has some good things going. If there's someone that could come in and do things a little bit better and refine it, then I'd be happy to see that. But I mean, until then, I think it's unfair. I think they'll probably give him another shot. I think they'll give him some more opportunity.
I feel that camp has simmered down quite a bit. I mean, that day that they lost to Toledo, and maybe the day after, there was a small camp making some noise, and Squeaky Wheel gets the oil, right? But, or gets the attention at least. But it is so difficult what they've put any coach, but in this case, Kalani Sitake, into, right? Or if you're listening to ESPN Plus, his name is Salami Karate. But they butchered so many names, it was bad. But what do you do? I mean, they put him into a crazy hard schedule on the coattails of an entire coaching staff leaving. It does feel reminiscent of how Bronco ended up kind of saying, hey, it's time to leave. Just after that camp got louder and louder of, hey, we're not going to be okay with mediocrity. Like, well, we keep playing these crazy hard schedules. You thought this year was hard on the schedule. You should look at next year. Next year's is crazy. It's insane. And then who do you exactly? I agree with Connor. Who do you replace him with? Seriously, you go down the list. Like, okay, you go back to Croton? No, of course not. Like, you got Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator that they let go last year. Maybe Ed Lamb. He's got a little bit. Sure, maybe. Leach, I don't know if the church wants him being the representative of their school's football team, even though that would be awesome. So I don't know. Like, what do you do?
I just feel like that is I don't know what word I want to use here. I understand the argument 110%, but if you're one of those BYU fans that wants to get rid of him, and you're like, the argument that keeps coming out is, then who do you replace him with? That just doesn't, I don't know if that just doesn't quiet them very easily, I guess. I don't know how else to explain that.
Yeah, no, it's not going to quiet them at all. That's the thing, is after a loss, that kind of camp is so heated and so, bent out of shape about it, they can't see 2 inches past their nose, you know. They can't see further into the future past the next game. So if you try your best to look out and say, okay, next year, 2 years, 3 years from now, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and I'm of the opinion that I think his seat's a lot hotter in the fan base than it probably is with people that matter as far as BYU goes. But I'll ask you two BYU fans, what has to happen in those last 6 games for him to, where we don't hear that in between seasons?
I think you'll hear about it regardless, because there's a lot of delusional BYU fans.
No.
And like, fans with their heads on straight. Win 4, go 4-2. If you can beat Boise State, I think that's really big. I feel like, if you can go 4-2, I'd be happy. And just have them show up, really, to games. That's the thing, is, in my opinion, this might be a little biased and blue goggles, but BYU could go to the Mountain West and be the number 14 team in the nation right now, ranked, and be nowhere close to that. Everyone knows BYU is not the 14th ranked team in the nation, but I don't think Boise State is either. But I do think BYU could show up for 2 games a year. And so there's like, there's that whole argument. But as far as Independence and Kalani, I just think that that if he can go 4-2 and have the team show up and look decent, I think it's fine.
Connor throwing shots at the Broncos here. I'm here for this.
Overrated.
Well, no, I'm just saying. There's that argument. There are BYU fans that want to go to the Mountain West, and I don't necessarily care to. But I'm just saying, if you go to the Mountain West, all you have to do is show up for two games, and BYU's proven they can show up for two games.
That's the same camp that's out there saying like, oh, we can't get the recruits, we can't get the recruits, we can't get the recruits. What do you think is going to happen if you were to go to the Mountain West? You'd get even harder. Like, it'd be a whole nother level trying to get those big name recruits. Hey, guess what? We're going to go play Wyoming, and it's going to be on the Mountain West channel.
That doesn't exist anymore, Chase.
Yeah, I know, but that's the idea.
But what channel is it? ESPN is what it is. It's the later time slot. It's ESPN2. It's ESPNU. But I think Connor illustrated it pretty well. I'm not sure Boise State's ranked 14th in the country. But for right now, they get to sell that to recruits. We're ranked 14th in the country and have a chance to play in a New Year's Six Bowl. Like, I'm not saying that's what BYU should do. Obviously, they're making a bunch of money being independent. They're playing lots of big teams. But at the same time, I feel like there is some reason they do that.
All right, exactly. Well, that's why Boise State, that's what they live and die on. And I'm not trying to throw too much shade at them, but I'm just saying they've beaten Florida State and
Marshall.
Yeah, exactly. And they're the 14th team in the nation. I think there's probably about 20 teams that could beat them. I'm not saying BYU will beat them, but I'm just saying I don't think they're 14.
So I'm with Connor on this one. I think if you beat Boise State or Utah State, you get either one of them. Then you beat your Idaho State, Liberty, UMass, and you win your bowl game. I think you kind of put that to bed and move on to the next season. And like I said, it's a gauntlet next year.
I think 4-2 is probably safe, but I think 4-2 is just mediocre enough that you don't shut some of those dudes up. I think if you go 5-1 or 6-0, obviously, I think that shuts everybody up, but we'll have to see.
Oh, 6-0, you wouldn't hear this. Like, the squeaky would be so small, it'd be gone.
6-0 would just be sad because, I mean, it'd be super awesome, but it'd be really sad because then we could have gone 10-2. And I would have been really sad about the Toledo loss. But if they lose another one, I wouldn't be so heartbroken.
You're almost cheering for a loss here, Connor. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
No, of course not. I want to see him win out, but that loss would just be more frustrating.
So they get to San Diego at the end of the year and they've won all of them. What are you thinking?
Like, darn, it sucks to lose to Toledo.
Yeah, pretty much. Then they probably would have been ranked at that point. But
if you win the next five, you're definitely ranked.
Well, I guess there's no hot seat for Kyle. But
not anymore. There was like what? Be happy. Wasn't there one like three or four years ago, Andrew?
Yeah.
Where he was kind of on the hot seat.
Maybe a little bit after 6-6, 5-7, but right. he's bought himself at least 3 years. But as far as the fan base goes, if they don't win the Pac-12 South this year, with as down as it is, I think you'd hear some, of course, those really loud ones. But I think the fan base in general would be pretty upset with the season if they're not at least playing the Pac-12 championship game. I'm not saying that's a for sure lock or anything, but if you look at the South, I don't think there's anybody you can say. I don't know. USC beat them, obviously, but I don't know. We'll see.
You guys, that's a perfect segue right into our next segment, segment two, which instead of doing game highlights like we normally do, we're going to highlight the Pac-12. Segment two, game highlights. And this week we're going to highlight the Pac-12 since there were buys on both sides of the ball. All right, gentlemen, follow this shell game, right? You see that shell game they play up on the jumbo screen between quarters? Pac-12's nuts this year. Utah beats BYU. BYU beats USC. USC beats Utah. Washington beats BYU. USC beats Stanford. Stanford beats Washington. UCLA beats Washington State. Oregon State beats UCLA. Utah, in turn, beats Washington State. Cal beats Washington. Arizona State beats Cal. Colorado beats Washington State. And then Arizona beats Colorado. That's what I think you guys are, what, 3 weeks into Pac-12 play? And this is the carousel that we have in front of us.
And that's how you end up with no unbeaten teams 5 weeks into the season.
It's insane. So is the Pac-12 just that good that anybody can show up and beat anybody? Or are they just like, they'll pick and choose when they're going to play well?
I think there's a couple pretty good teams or really good teams in the Pac-12. I think there's a whole lot of average teams in the Pac-12, and I think there's a couple bad teams that can beat the average team. So I don't know how to answer that question, but I don't think there's a great team in the Pac-12.
Who's your top tier? Who would you say is 1, 2, 3 in the Pac-12?
Oregon, and then some order of Utah and Washington.
And then after that, it's just a jumble mess, which it currently is.
I don't know. You might be able to, depending on which USC team shows up week to week, you might be able to throw them up there. They might lead the mediocre pack. I don't know.
Just the way it's playing out right now, it looks like BYU would fit into the Pac-12 just fine this year, just with this gauntlet of craziness happening.
Yeah, I think the only problem they have is depth, because they're not part of the Pac-12. Same problem Utah had when they first came, but
sure.
Talent-wise, if they're healthy, I think like they've shown, they play with the Pac-12 teams.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in this year, with maybe on the depth side of things, they'd be maybe comparable to a UCLA or something down there.
Don't pick that one, but, Chase. Don't pick that one.
Yeah. Okay, one above. Oregon State, what are they, 3-2?
I don't know. But yeah, 2-3 or 3-2.
2-3.
Yeah, so they lost to Hawaii, so I don't know.
I know. It's just insane.
Connor, where does BYU finish in the Pac-12 this year, if they're in the Pac-12?
I don't know. I guess if we have to compare them to someone in the pack, maybe in Arizona. And not based off of their current record, but is Arizona that good this year?
No, I don't. They're leading the Pac-12 South, so I can't say
right. No,
they're not good.
Yeah,
but
currently they are.
They're quietly doing it too.
Maybe, well, I don't know. A little bit better than Oregon State. I just don't think Arizona's going to finish where they're at currently.
Well, Arizona's beat they beat UCLA at home by 3 points. Who else did they play in the Pac-12?
They beat Colorado.
At Colorado. So I guess that's a little better win, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't really care where BYU finishes in the pack, because they're not in the pack. but say they're not last place.
Okay, I can agree with that.
If they were in the pack this year, it'd almost be worse for them, because they'd just be cannibalized like some of these middle teams that are probably still decent teams, but they don't show up for the right game. It's just kind of a weird year for the Pac-12.
Yeah, I feel pretty safe saying, as of right now, Oregon's the best team in the Pac-12. I still think Washington's pretty good. They've now lost two in the Pac-12 already, so I don't know, but I think anybody else is really good.
They almost seem like the team that shows up to their opponent's standard, if that makes sense.
Well, their problem is they're too tired by the time the kickoff starts. If they kick off after 8, what is it? Didn't the Cal game go way late?
Yeah, that's true.
Or am I mistaken?
Yeah. No, Washington lost to Cal after midnight or 1 or 2 or whatever.
And the Stanford game.
Washington hasn't beat Stanford in Stanford in a really long time. Something about that stadium and them, they don't get along. Even when they were really good, they couldn't win there. So
sounds kind of like the Coliseum, maybe.
Let's not talk about that, Chase. Come on.
UW will be a tough place to play for Utah coming forward. I think that's probably the toughest game left, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Arizona State in 2 weeks is going to be interesting, just because of what it will mean for the South. We have to go to Arizona, but I like you said, I'm not sure I buy them all the way yet. But yeah, at Washington, I think, is the one everybody, all Utah fans, have circled.
Colorado's Colorado's a trap game for Utah, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it is senior night, last game. They should show up for that. UCLA, they'll win. Chow, that'll be tough.
Yeah, we get them in Salt Lake, and their defense is nasty, but I don't think they're going to score enough points. I don't know. I don't want to pick Utah to win all these games, but you know how I am.
You're the atypical Utah fan. Does it make you nervous, though, seeing this kind of just carousel of so-and-so beats and loses to so-and-so? Does it make you nervous?
No. Like, Utah, for the most part, since they've been in the Pac-12, beats the teams they're supposed to. They lose to teams that are more athletic than them. Like they were supposed to beat USC, but that makes sense to me. USC just out-athleted them on the edge. We had a bad game plan, and they just had better players than us, and they showed up. Like, Utah usually beats teams we have better players than, but, you know, it's the Pac-12. Anything can happen.
It is very entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say right now, I'll put money down on it. I'll say Oregon wins the North, Utah the South, but I think it comes down to, I'll give Utah the South. I just don't think Arizona State, I think they lose to someone.
Oh. Arizona State doesn't scare me as much. We need USC to lose to somebody else because they hold the tiebreaker. My biggest concern is that nobody else beats USC. USC has one Pac-12 loss to Washington, but we need somebody else in the South to beat them because I'm thinking Utah already has one Pac-12 loss, and I'm thinking I'll pick them to lose to Washington. That gets us to two, so that means USC has to lose three Pac-12 games, because if we each lose two, then they win the tiebreaker. So that's the thing that worries me most there is USC, unfortunately.
Did everybody follow that show?
Yeah, exactly. Right
there. it's very true, though. There's a lot of different things that will happen and have to happen for different people to get the South. The South is very interesting this year.
Yeah, I think the only thing we can say for sure is Oregon's good.
So my question is, so the Pac-12 winner, this Pac-12 champion, goes to the Rose Bowl, right?
Yeah.
But they're not in, right? You wouldn't put them in the Final Four?
I think if Oregon doesn't lose again and they win the Pac-12 championship, I think they have a pretty good say to get in. I think some things would have to fall right in other conferences, of course. I'm not saying that's a lock, but I think an 11-1 Oregon team that probably should have beat Auburn, obviously they didn't, but probably should have beat Auburn, has a pretty good say that they should be in, but I wouldn't guarantee it, but I'd say it's pretty good.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
It'd be interesting to see if they could get a committee together to all agree to skip out on one of these following: Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma. Like, one of those guys would have to be looked over and skipped. I guess two of them would have to be looked over or skipped in order for Oregon to get in.
I mean, I think the Georgia, Alabama, maybe you can even throw LSU in there. Conversation kind of cannibalizes itself, no?
Throwing Florida, yeah. Too, right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm playing. No, that'll sort itself out by the end of the season. All those...
So I say you have Alabama. I'll say Alabama comes out of that undefeated. Clemson's probably going, even, I don't know. I would say if Clemson loses to anybody in the ACC, they shouldn't be a lock, but they probably are because they're Clemson.
Right.
And then I think the other two big ones are a one-loss Ohio State or a one-loss Oklahoma, if Oregon can beat either of those guys.
True. And I would hope that Oregon gets to play Oklahoma, because I feel like that's the one that they line up against the best.
Yeah, they'd have to jump one of those two, though, right? Because we're thinking Clemson and Alabama are probably locks, and then you have, I don't know, we'll see.
Yep. Well, I think that might be a good segue into our next segment, because we're going to talk about one of those teams. Segment 3, Games Around the Nation. Connor, it's a good thing you're with us today. We're going to start off with the Gators over Auburn. How was that for you, your Gators there, Connor?
It was big time. I think it was a big win for sure for Dan Mullen. There's tons of recruits there just because I follow Florida. Kind of know a little bit about it, but there's a lot of South Florida recruits there. And so that was good for Florida, obviously, to have that and to have that atmosphere in the swamp. I don't think it was really as big a win as it looked like, but to have that W is huge because of the next four games that Florida has. You can't afford to lose that one at home.
Are you selling Auburn then? You don't think they're very good?
No, I do think Auburn is good, but I'm just saying, like, so Florida's games, upcoming games, you just played Auburn at home. You have LSU at South Carolina, and then Georgia. And to have those four games, I just think that's one you don't want to lose, especially to start off that four-game stretch. I think Auburn's good, but
if you're going to win a couple of those, you got to win that one.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. I think that's exactly a good statement. And maybe for those that didn't see it, Florida started that day ranked 10th, Auburn 7th, and Florida wins that one 24-13.
Yep.
Just since you've been there a couple times, what is that atmosphere like down in the swamp?
It's wild. It's insane. Probably the most swamp-like atmosphere. So growing up on the West Coast, we always watch those games, or at least I always watch those games at like 1 or 2 in the afternoon because it was prime time in the South, and it was always just like raining or super hot when you'd watch like Tim Tebow play and those guys play. But it's insane. I mean, I think in Florida it's 90,000. Some of the stadiums are 100,000, but I'd say 60% of them have a little bit too much beverage in them. and then the other 40% probably don't have enough clothes on, which I'm not supporting, but I'm just saying it's like,
well, you kind of are supporting.
It's like
you,
Woodstock, like, as Mike Leach would say. But it's wild. So it's a fun atmosphere. It's like going to a concert, but at a football game kind of thing. And so growing up, like, as a BYU fan, I love BYU and I love the fans, and it's unique. But you don't have half the stadium sitting down at Florida, so it's just totally different, and it's a good atmosphere. It's just different.
Speaking of big fan bases, another game we wanted to talk about: Michigan and Iowa. Anybody watch that one?
I actually didn't watch that one. I did not.
Chase,
it was an interesting game because you know how Michigan has been struggling, and Iowa should have been a pretty decent, formidable threat for them. Michigan ends up pulling it off in the end; they win. But the thing that just kind of made me scratch my head and chuckle to myself was after the game, Coach Harbaugh, I can't say it right tonight. He goes on to say, "We were banging on all cylinders. We were looking good tonight." They scored 10 points. Like, if that's them banging on all cylinders, I'm like, oh, that's not good.
See, and again, I'm not going to pretend that I'm not biased, because I obviously am. But the Pac-12 gets hated on for being the weak Power 5 conference. Who in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State is any good?
Oh, I agree with you this year. I really do. Because, I mean, I think you do everybody under Ohio and everybody under, say, Utah, Oregon, Washington, you could play anybody together and to toss of a coin to see who would win that game.
Because Iowa's ranked, and I'm sure they're a fine football team, but that Michigan team I don't think is very good. Like, that was just like watching paint dry. I'm sure it's fun for people to enjoy defenses.
Wisconsin's
but
pretty
I'm,
nasty.
That's true. I'll give you Wisconsin.
But aside from that, I agree.
But you never hear, like, Ohio State probably goes undefeated and they get touted for going through the Big Ten undefeated. I'm just like, man, I don't know if any of those teams are any good. Michigan State ends up being ranked all the time. I'm like, they're not any good.
Yeah, they're still living out the glory days of when Connor was quarterback there.
Yeah, I don't understand, but yeah.
And didn't Arizona State beat Michigan?
Arizona State beat Michigan State, yeah. But they'll win 4 or 5 in a row in the Big Ten, and they'll crawl back into the top 25 because they're Michigan State. But that's, yeah, I'll get off my pedestal, but it just drives me crazy.
So speaking of that,
why is that?
I think it has to do with West Coast football, that they're supposed to be soft and they've been left out of a couple of playoffs because of some down years, and so that's just the stigma, or that's just what the stigma they have about the Pac-12 is, that it's down, and so no matter what happens, unless a team goes undefeated, they're not any good. And I think until a team goes through the conference undefeated, and maybe one of these big teams goes and beats an SEC team in one of these preseason games or the pre-conference games, they stop. But until that happens, I think that's just the stigma they're going to get stuck with.
Well, I think it has something to do as well with some of these teams in Big 12 had, I don't know what you say, they had a time frame where they were dominant. I mean, Michigan State was awesome there for a while. Michigan obviously was really good there during the 90s, and they had their glory days. And so obviously Ohio State's still there. So I don't know. It just seems like maybe they've had their stint, so everybody's just living off the glory days, saying like, oh, well, they were good at one point, so we'll just keep them ranked, almost like Connor mentioned about Boise State earlier.
Yeah, my biggest problem is, like, Ohio State's going to go on the road at some point this year and get tested by an Iowa, or maybe even lose to somebody like that, and they're going to be like, oh, man, Big Ten play always gets you. But Washington loses to a pretty scrappy, really good defensive Cal team, and everybody's like, oh, the Pac-12 does it again. Look at them being dope. So I'm like, ah, jeez, but it's whatever.
Yeah. So as long as Corso keeps loving them every Saturday morning, should be good.
So yeah, I think for that to switch, it'll take a Utah-Alabama Sugar Bowl type game, or I think that's just the biggest problem is there hasn't been a dominant performance by a Pac-12 team against one of those teams.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Oregon would have beat Auburn and was sitting at 5-0 right now instead of 4-1 with another loss to an SEC team, I think Oregon would probably be ranked close to top 5.
Oh yeah,
and would top be 10, and would be and sure. would be and would be talked about in the playoff because they. I mean, like, for those that watch that game, I think everybody knows Oregon's just as good as Auburn. I think they played 10 times. Oregon beats them 5 times. Like, I think, like, I don't know. But all everybody's going to remember is Oregon lost an SEC team again, and the Pac-12's down again. And it just is what it is,
unfortunately. I think the Pac has to have some just where they go down there and they just destroy some teams,
yeah,
you know?
That would definitely
help. And until that happens, like, I just don't think – like, I'm not saying it should be this way. But I'm just saying, I think that's kind of what it's going to take for any of the bias to be changed at all.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Because, like, Cal went down and beat Ole Miss, but no one really cares.
Exactly. Another point I brought up, but exactly.
It wasn't, I mean, it was a good win for Cal. But, like, at what point in the Pac-12 is beating a team by 3 points really proving your point? It's not going to be proving your point. You got to go down there and you got to beat them by 20 if you're really going to say that you can play with these guys to get heard.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
So that moves on to one of the other games we're going to talk about, Ohio State over Michigan State. Obviously, Ohio State looks awesome, very solid on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, that quarterback's a stud again. We'll see what happens as they go here next little bit. I think Wisconsin's probably the only one that scares them, but we'll see.
I'd rather see Wisconsin come out of there than Ohio State.
Wisconsin always, but always, they always lose those big games, Big Ten championship or something. I don't know. I'd like to see them get over the hump, but until they do it, I'm not counting on it.
Do you think there's going to be a Heisman Trophy winner coming out of the Big 12 this year instead of the SEC or?
I don't, it's probably down to Tua or Hurts right now, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the final. Maybe Lawrence, right? Out of
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, if he puts together some big games and wins a title.
Yeah.
But that it's before the title, but.
Fields, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. There's still some in the mix.
Yeah.
I just think that Hurts, Lincoln Riley just generates Heisman winners.
That offense of his is just ridiculous. I don't know. Keep turning up.
I was on a side note. I was listening to Colin Cowherd yesterday, and he's like, "Dude, straight up, if you come out of Oklahoma as a quarterback and you go to the NFL, you're gonna get worse coaching." And he's like, "It's the few and rare instances, but there's like DBs that'll come out of Alabama, QBs out of Oklahoma, and they go to the NFL and literally get worse coaching."
And I don't think he's alone in thinking that. I've heard that before from other places. Like I think NFL teams are throwing money at Lincoln Riley right now. But I think I don't know. We'll see what he does. But I think he's feeling all right where he's at.
Does he look at what happened to the Redskins coach and be like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm going to jump ship here"?
Yeah, and unfortunately, how it goes, you get hired to an NFL team. You're probably coaching a team that isn't very good. There's a reason they fired their coach.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, and the NFL is just tough. It's way more. You're not going to be. I mean, unless you're Bill Belichick, you're not going to be dominant.
Plus, no matter how good you are. At this point, like, he's set for life, right? Like, he's obviously NFL coaches get paid a little bit more, but that dude's getting paid bank to win 10-11 games every single year. Like, you can just almost chalk it up. If I'm him, I'm not going anywhere, but I guess someone throws enough money at you, you at least think about it.
He's got a setup where he could be the next Alabama. He's young enough and he's got a cool enough offense that he could be the next Alabama, where, like you said, he sticks around and has that name behind him. People just come to him, and like you said, not that it's easy, but you know, you get those kind of recruits, you know, life does get a little easier.
Dude, Chase, Oklahoma fans are gonna take offense to that. They're like the original Oklahoma, right? Like, I'm just kidding.
Back to their glory days.
Yeah,
back to the glory state. The last one we want to talk about really fast is LSU over Utah State, just because it's a team that BYU is going to see. There was talk out of Utah State fan base that, hey, we're going to go surprise LSU. Not the case. What happened there?
LSU's better.
Lots better. Lots better.
Yeah.
I Utah State fans are starting getting a little bit loud. Not that I dislike Utah State fans in any way, but they've had success against BYU, and they beat Utah however long ago that was. Like, I think they feel a little disrespected and that they have right to think they're the best team in Utah, but I didn't hear as many this week, so we'll see.
Oh man, BYU's gotta beat them. I can't decide, do I want to listen to Boise State fans for the next year or Utah State fans? BYU could beat them both. That'd just be awesome.
Yeah, just beat them both.
Well, I know you said you had to go, but before you leave, Connor, we need to hear your Rocky.
No. That's for a special occasion when you're in your lows of lows. So we're not there yet. How about this? If we lose by more than 3 touchdowns to the USF, I'll consider it.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. That's bad. That's bad juju right there.
Bad juju. Oh, man. Well, before this ends up being a 2-hour episode, we better move on to the next segment. All right, next segment, keys to this week's game. I'm excited to get past the bye week and actually have a chance to talk about what we need to do to win. But as always, let's start with you, Andrew.
Okay. Man, circling this one on the schedule early, I would have chalked this one up to an easy W, and I still think Utah's a better football team and should win. But this is a better Oregon State team. I think the lowest points they've scored all season is 28. They can score a little bit. I think Utah should be able to score on them. So keys to the game, I think Utah needs to show up right away. We can't fall behind 10-0 early and give them momentum. If we show up right away and assert dominance, physical with the run, stopping the run, I think we take care of business. Zach Moss is back. I'm hoping he probably only carries the ball 10 or 15 times. We keep getting the young backs involved. And on defense, I think we need to make them one-dimensional. Like I said, stop the run. Their quarterback threw week, but I don't think he does that against Utah's secondary. So make him one-dimensional, make life hard for that quarterback. And I think Utah comes out with, I'll say, 31-17 victory.
All right. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one to walk away from.
What about you? So, BYU's keys.
All right. So I'd say it's pretty simple this week. You got to go in and pop him in the jaw real quick. Get some confidence into your young quarterback. Get some confidence into this offense that has been stagnant the last couple of games. You know, look tired against Toledo. Just go pop him early. Get up early. Get Jaron in a rhythm. Get him feeling good. And then on the defensive side, stop the ball. Stop the run. So that, if you kind of go and look at some of the statistics for South Florida, it looks like they kind of switched gears and went away from the run, or sorry, from the pass quite a bit the last two games, which that doesn't bode well for BYU because their run defense hasn't looked too great. So that's the key. Stop that run. Pop them in the mouth early. I think you walk away with, I'd say 30-14 win.
I'll take it. That sounds about right to me.
Yep. All right. Well, easy peasy. Should we move on to the next?
Yeah, let's finish it up.
All right, buddy. Let's do it. Final segment. Time for a final rant. Andrew Brown, let's hear it, buddy.
Okay, I'm gonna change mine. I don't know what word I want to use, but this is not a rant because I don't want to be like this is especially important or super critical. But I want Utah to play this game like it's the next game on the schedule, that they're not looking ahead, that they handle business, take care of business, and move on to bigger and better things. I think they have a couple big games coming up, and that this kind of feels like a trap game. So I hope they just focus in, take care of business, remind everybody in the Pac-12 why they were picked to win the Pac-12 at the beginning of this year, and come out with a good win.
It's a business trip.
Exactly.
Put that tie on, get it done, and come home with some bacon.
Come home and get ready for the next one.
Amen to that. I can buy that. Man, on the BYU side, dominate. I just want to see some domination against a team that is inferior to BYU in physicality, strength, speed. You know, I want to see it on all three sides of the ball. I want offense to go, score a bunch of points, look confident doing it, look smooth. You know, no more penalties, Bushman jumping off sides. And then defensively, I want to see some pops. I want to see some linebackers coming up, filling the gaps, no more running for 20 yards at a time. And then on the special teams, you know, the kicking teams look pretty good with the exception of Toledo. Let's get that kicking team back in. Let's get some nice returns. I just want to see some domination and something that would remind me of that UCLA game back in 2008 where it was just nonstop, never taking my foot off your throat until the game's over. I'm going to help you up and shake your hand. I want to see it. Do it.
Sounds good. Be good. How's momentum changer.
How was that for a rant?
That was much more ranty.
Man, if we could do that, I think it would silence a lot of people until the end of the season.
Just like, gets momentum back in the right direction.
Yeah. I still hold firm to what I said last week. I think this week, even though it's against an inferior team, will actually be a tell of what's to come the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think you take care of business. You can get excited about the next couple big games coming up. I think if you go struggle, or I won't even say lose, but then you start to snowball a little bit. So it's get the ship pointed in the right direction.
Amen. Amen to that. It's a lot easier to do it now compared to, you know, when there's only two or three games left. It's really hard to ride a ship at that point.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that was a fun one. It was good to have Connor join us. Andrew, thanks for letting the little brother jump on for a minute and talk with us.
No, it's good. I've missed him.
Yeah. He's a good little squirt. He's a good kid. So any, you know, maybe all two of the single ladies that listen to this part of the podcast, he is single. So, you know, reach out to him and DM. He's going to kill me. Anyhow, as always, this is Brothers of the Holy War, episode 12, going into BYU against South Florida, Utah. Where are you guys at again?
At Oregon State.
At Oregon State. There we go. All right. Tune in next week. Thanks for listening.